This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tom, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Tom.
How am I? That's a loaded question, Molly.
I got to tell you. Yeah, I texted David at one point and I just said, has the paint dried? Because I know he's watching it and I'm watching it, and it's like, what an awful offense the poor Bears have. I mean, you just feel sorry for people.
Who do you feel sorry for? The, you know,
I
feel sorry for me.
Yes. I
watching
feel sorry
it,
for
describing it.
Well, that's the problem. How do
putting
you describe
it in perspective?
That? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the unique thing about football is you sit there, and whether, you know, we're watching games of other teams or you're watching the games of your own team, and you sit there and you kind of just watch them go by. But then when you have to go back and you got to slow it down and you got to look at each play individually and stuff, then it becomes more disappointing, because there's things out there that they should be settled by this point in the season. They should be understood by this point in the season, and they should be more well constructed by this point in the season. And when they're going in the opposite direction, the second time around is more frustrating, just because, listen, I've been through the process before. I've been on losing teams. I've been on good teams, but I've been an offensive lineman my whole life. I've studied offensive football my whole life. And so, when you sit there and you have a chance and slow things down, it is frustrating that they're making the mistakes at this point in the season that they're making.
Tom, I know you're a former offensive lineman. Everybody understands that, but I think you're objective enough to look at this from, you know, removing emotion from the equation or that to your pass from it. Are we overstating how bad the offensive line is and saying that that is the root of all the problems? And assigning blame to maybe that deficiency and saying, okay, that's why the quarterback doesn't work. That's why the receivers are unreliable. That's why the running game has stalled. It all starts up front.
Yeah, you know, I would be in agreement with that, because, you know, I mean, there's other exact, you know, the thing about it is, yeah, it's how well do you run the ball? You know, that kind of tells the story of your offensive line. But so we're not running the ball well. We are really unaware of our pass protection responsibilities, depending upon how many guys they're showing at the line of scrimmage or where they're at before the snap of the ball. There's too many bad snaps in the course of the game. So all these things that create the deficiencies in the offense and their inability to sustain a drive or score points. Yeah. Unfortunately, and I, you know, because those are the guys that I gravitate towards, but I think right now a lot of the issues that are that nothing can get started up front. You know, you run a couple wildcat plays and, you know, there's a slow mesh point between Cordero Patterson and Allen Robinson that kind of just slows down the whole process of the play and that creates deficiency. So, you know, David, I would have to agree with you at this point in the season.
149 total yards for their offense. And that, I got to be honest with you, you're not going to win a football game doing that, Tom. Not in this era, certainly. They won on defense, I thought, for the most part, and they won on special teams. And yet you can't win a football game if you can't gain more than if you can't even get to 150 yards.
I'm just amazed over the last 2 weeks and how well the defense has played against the types of offenses they played against. Again, Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins, you know, they're not, you know, the most proficient of passers in the league right now, but they have solid quality running games, and the Bears have been able to completely shut them down. And then when you say with the lack of compliment, again, you know, Jeff and I were saying four of the first six drives, the Bears controlled the ball for a minute and 50 seconds or less. So when I think about the defense and the overall performance, I think about how tired some of these guys are and how quickly they have to go back on the field. So, you know, as poorly as the offense is playing, the defense is still holding up to their end of the bargain. And I know they're respected around the league, even though they're not getting any real support from the offense.
Does it matter who calls plays, Tom? What did you think about Matt Nagy, you know, pivoting and asking or having Bill Lazor do it? And could you tell the difference?
No, I didn't like it, first of all. I didn't want Matt to give up the play-calling duties because as bad as the offense has been, there's probably been about maybe, you know, four to five plays that I disagreed with what Matt was calling. However, it's not the plays that are being called. It's the inability to block the plays that are being called. So the first play of the game, they go to a lateral pass to Darrell Mooney. We've seen a lot of those. And one of my keys of the game, I thought, was how much effectiveness can you get out of the lateral offense? I mean, those passes down the line of scrimmage, screens, jet sweeps and stuff, and they didn't. Then the second play of the game was an interception. And then, you know, again, I have every single play documented, and I don't think there was any difference in the offense. We had two or three wildcat plays called, but, you know, one went for 4 yards and then the other one went for a tackle for a 3 yard loss. So it's not like we saw something of a coming. You know, Jimmy Graham, caught a pass in 22 straight games. He was targeted twice, didn't catch a pass. Cole Kmet was lucky enough to catch one pass on a desperation scramble by Nick Foles. So there was a lot of the offense that I was hoping that was going to be included that was not included in this game plan.
You know, I feel like Bill Lazor had no chance, though. I mean, Tom, you know, to get that responsibility and to not have the kind of time that you need to actually implement anything or try anything, maybe after having the bye week, maybe something changes. I don't know what it would. I mean, maybe you get some healthier people. But I don't know what to make of where the Bears are with four straight losses for two seasons running. You just don't, and I know this year we're not looking at last year, but you cannot put together losing streaks like that. Period. End of story.
Right. Well, you know, then I mean, does a competition start in practice? Does this whoever's going to start outside a few of the obvious guys on the offensive side of the ball? Is everybody's job up for negotiation? Is it up for how well you practice? That's you're going to get a chance to play. Because, you know, when you present the different periods that you go through during the course of a week of practice, you have a chance to show these players what you're expected to see out of a Mike Zimmer-led defense. And when I see the mistakes up front and according to their pass protection responsibilities, or even, you know, the way they formed to fit into a running play, it's just not there. So, you know, whomever is calling the plays, these guys, they have to be coached more intelligently, so they're not making these battle errors. It's really tough when you go out there and you see how many third down blitzes that there wasn't a hot read there, you know, right. Third down where there was wrong determination who you were responsible for on the line of scrimmage. So, you know, everybody is going to have a hand in this and getting the mistakes corrected so you can go out there and look better anyways.
Tom, postgame, Eddie Jackson shared the message in a Zoom that he gathered his team and addressed the team about accountability. And he said, quote, you see guys coming off the field, their head down. No one says nothing to them. That has to change. What do you think? Are you noticing anything different? Are you, what was your level of concern with this sort of unraveling in the locker room because the defense is playing like a playoff team, and the offense is playing like a team that's not capable of being a 500 team?
Well, I don't want the defensive players to hide their frustration and the lack of support, and when you look at a team effort. Because, the offense has to supply these guys with some support. How are you not going to hang your head when you're coming to the sideline? You come out and you set the tone and you have a three and out, or you create a turnover or something like that, then you're back on the field a minute and 20 seconds later. There is no time to get any coaching, get any rest, get refreshed by the time you're back on the field. And, I don't think, the locker room will be separated, because I don't think that's the atmosphere here, but it's going to be very challenged inside there when, the offense is really not contributing anything to this defense. And, the defense is still respected around the league. However, it's just there is no respect for the offense right now.
Akeem Hicks went out. That seems to be a player that would be atop any list of guys you can least afford to lose. And when you see a guy with a hamstring, it usually takes a while. What happens to the interior of that defense, already kind of undermanned without Akeem there?
Yeah, they're fortunate because Brent Urban's playing well. They got. And Mario Edwards Jr. is playing well. Blau Nichols can move up and down the line of scrimmage. So I don't think that Akeem would be lost very long, just, with this time that he has to rest and recover. But Akeem, he plays an important role. He plays an important part of this defense. Whether it's the fun trash talking he does at the line of scrimmage or just by his play, and the offensive linemen recognize that in preparation to play Akeem Hicks. So, to me, I hope he's up and ready to go when they play the Packers in a couple weeks, and hopefully that it wasn't that much of a strain where the staff here can get on him and get him healed up so he can play.
Tom, will health be the determining factor as far as what the Bears do at the quarterback position? We heard that Nick Foles is not, according to NFL Network, have a serious injury. We don't know the status of Mitch, but Matt Nagy sounded optimistic post-game that he might be available. Will health be factoring in more than anything else about that?
Well, I would like to know where Mitch is at, mentally, physically, emotionally. Is he completely detached from the team, or is he still attached? Does he want to play? If he does want to play, he would probably be candidate number one. I'm confused about, Tyler Bray, because Tyler's been here so long and he's got, he played college football. Have you been here for this long with knowing that you are only trying to develop the skills to be a third team quarterback or a practice squad quarterback? And I don't think that's the mindset you want to have here. So I hope Tyler Bray gets an opportunity to get involved in the mix and serious consideration for, excuse me, whatever position Nick is in. I just hope that they would go out and investigate Tyler and Mitch and see what see what level there is that they both are at.
Tom, thanks a ton. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye, man. See you later.
Hang in there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.